For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. In late August of 1862, Union and Confederate forces confronted one another in what became known as the Second Battle of Bull Run. The fighting moved close to Washington, D.C., and included Stonewall Jackson's attack at Manassas. With the next in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War, Dan Modlin has more on the story.
The Second Battle of Bull Run took place August 29th and 30th of 1862. Dr. Glenn LaFantasy is with the WKU Institute for Civil War Studies. He says in some respects, the Second Battle of Bull Run was an opportunity for Union forces to address some disappointments from the Peninsular Campaign earlier in that year.
From Lee's point of view, it was certainly trying to take advantage of the outcome of the Peninsular Campaign. From Lincoln's point of view, he was still struggling with the fact that Washington was vulnerable and needed protection. So even before, or just at the very start of the 7 days' battles on the peninsula, with McClellan trying to make his way to Richmond and yet falling back and withdrawing, even though he's winning victories along that Tidewater Peninsula, Lincoln creates a separate Union army just to consolidate the separate Union forces that are in the field to protect Washington, D.C. And he places in command of this new army called the Army of Virginia, which only confuses things a whole lot for many people with the names of these armies. But in any event, John Pope, who had been a hero in taking Island Number 10 on the Mississippi River the very day that Grant won a victory at Shiloh, April 7th, 1862, Pope had gained this great fame in taking Island Number 10. So he's brought east in charge of this new Army of Virginia. And Pope, from the very start, begins to reveal his bumbling ways as a general. He makes an announcement to his forces that while the troops in his western command never let the enemy see their backs, and he expects this eastern army to operate in a similar fashion, there's an innuendo there that maybe the easterners are not quite up to snuff as the western soldiers. So not the way to win your troops over to your side or to increase morale at all in an army.
WKU military historian Dr. Jack Thacker says much like the Peninsular Campaign, Confederates seem to have an advantage in terms of maps and military intelligence. He says Jeb Stuart turned out to be invaluable to Confederate commanders.
Pope's cavalry is abysmal. Pope's army was reconnoitering all over the place. It was so porous, however, that Stuart on the 22nd of August struck Pope's headquarters and carried away a satchel full of all his war plans, giving Lee enormous amounts of information. Now, the other thing that you got to understand, too, and this is important, is Stuart has this, we talked about people being able to feel the battlefield. Stuart has this incredible ability to piece information together. One thing that Stuart has as a cavalryman that no other cavalryman in the entire Civil War has is the ability to take information from his subordinates and paint a coherent picture of everything he sees. And this is invaluable to Lee and to Jackson. So Jackson knows essentially where, at all times for the most part, where Pope is.
On August 27th, Stonewall Jackson attacked at Manassas Junction, which is west of Washington, D.C. As Dr. Glenn LaFantasy explains, some of the fighting at the Second Battle of Bull Run actually took place on the same fields where the First Battle of Bull Run took place.
Jackson, wisely, deploys his men in an unfinished railroad cut along the Warrenton Turnpike on the old battlefield of First Manassas, First Bull Run. So here, these armies are going to confront one another on the exact same battlefield that had been used in July 1861. So just over a year later, men are fighting again on the same battleground. But the point is here that Jackson takes up an enormously advantageous position using this railroad cut as entrenchments. And Pope doesn't know where Jackson is, doesn't know about Longstreet's threat on his flank. And so as he's marching along, Jackson's volleys open up. And finally, John Pope knows exactly where Stonewall Jackson is, but it's taken by surprise in the whole affair. And it's then that John Pope tries to organize his forces as such so that they can be committed to a series of frontal assaults against Stonewall Jackson's fortified defensive position in this railroad cut.
Dr. Thacker says Pope refuses to believe that Longstreet's Confederate troops are in the vicinity.
By this time, though, Longstreet has already arrived and is covering Jackson's flank.
This turned out to be the largest attack waged in the Civil War.
What Pope and Fitzjohn Porter and John Reynolds are all confronting in Longstreet's first enfilade fire by artillery and then a flank attack is the largest attack ever waged in the entire Civil War. Longstreet hurls 28,000 men at Pope's right flank. I mean, this is an unbelievable charge in terms of the amount of men. Pickett's charge at Gettysburg on July 3, 1863 has become famous for Lee sending 15,000 men in what's considered to be the most glorious charge of the Civil War. Well, from the Confederate perspective, certainly Second Bull Run and Longstreet's assault against Pope's flank outshines everything in the war. There are more men involved in this attack than any other in the entire Civil War. And it works, and it works just fabulously from Lee and Longstreet and Jackson's point of view. From Pope's point of view, he's not, as Jack mentioned, Pope won't believe that Longstreet's actually arrived until Longstreet's men start pushing the Union forces back along the old retreat route from Bull Run. There's less of a rout, although later something of a rout does occur among the Union forces, but it's not like first Bull Run. But nevertheless, it's then too late that Pope wakes up and says, oh, I guess Longstreet arrived. Well, yes, because you're now in Centerville instead of being at Manassas where you started this combat, and you've been defeated.
The Union lost about 17,000 men, while the Confederacy lost about 9,000 men at the Second Battle of Bull Run. Dr. Thacker says the battle had a significant impact on the way Robert E. Lee viewed the war.
It's an example of the superiority of the Confederate forces, and it convinces Lee, now's the time to go on the offensive. Now's the time to invade the North. And so it's going to set up the Antietam campaign.
This has been the latest in our series of reports on the 150th anniversary of the Civil War. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Dan Motley.